بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله Tonight is the 24th of October in the year 2020 and to spend one last session discussing the glorious true abode inshallah of paradise. And the last thing I mentioned, which I'll mention again, is the verse in Surah Al-Insan, Surah 76, verse 20, where Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وَإِذَا رَأَيْتَ ثَمَّ رَأَيْتَ نَعِيمًا وَمُلْكًا كَبِيرًا And when you look, again, when you look, you will see bliss, unimaginable pleasures, and a magnificent kingdom. So again, like I mentioned the word, when you look, again when you look, meaning you're going to be startled, you will see bliss and mulk, the kingdom kabira, the kingdom magnificent or unending. Hasan al-Basri said about this verse, rahmatullah alayh, in Qurtubi in Istadkhira, the least in position of the people of paradise is he who is surrounded by 1,000 immortalized youths as servants who also ride on horses with golden wings. So this is a commentary of this verse. So Hasan al-Basri, he said, this is the lowest person in paradise, meaning the lowest grade. He's got 1,000 immortal youths as servants. So the Quran mentions that these servants, they're youths. And these 1,000 immortal youths, they got transport, and their transport are horses with golden wings. Because that's the meaning of this verse, or one of the meanings. So the question is, if this is a servant, or these are servants, then what is then for the master? And this is the lowest ranked person. And like I mentioned yesterday, when paradise was created, our beloved messenger mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that the angels alayhi salatu wa sallam said, beautified be you, O the dwelling of kings. Beautified be you, O the dwelling of kings. This is in Tabarani, Bazar, Behaki, Tarheeb, Al-Haythami, in Majma, Az-Zawai, 10-397 with a Sahih chain of transmission. So, paradise was created, the angels glanced. In fact, there's a report I'll mention. The hadith is in Nasa'i and Tirmidhi. And it's Mishkat, and it's a Sahih hadith. And the meaning of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He created paradise. And He told Jibreel to go and have a look. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wa sallam went. He comes back with the following report. He goes, oh my Lord, subhanahu wa ta'ala, whoever even hears of this, he will strive day and night to attain it. But then Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He placed hardships around paradise. He goes, go and have another look now. So Jibreel went, alayhi salatu wasalam. This time he comes by and he says, now I fear nobody will enter. So stop in the report. So first of all, Jibreel is older than paradise, alayhi salatu wasalam. Secondly, what report does he bring? Now this is very important for us to understand. He saw it. But he didn't say he who sees it. He said he who hears about it. So what was Jibreel encouraging us to do? Alayhi salatu wasalam. To learn about paradise, to hear about it. And he goes, when they truly hear about it and it settles, they will strive every sinew to get there. But then what? Not as easy as this. Allah the Almighty and Glorious placed hardships around paradise, meaning the deeds that are needed. When Jibreel goes back, he goes, now I don't think there's going to be that many. And then the same is mentioned about the hell. He created the hellfire. Go and have a look. Jibreel returns, alayhi salatu wasalam. He goes, oh my Lord, whoever hears about this place, he will strive every sinew to avoid it. But then Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He places ease, you know, the nafs, the desires around it. He's going to have another look. This time the report is, nobody's safe. So this is the strange thing about paradise. Your yearning is there. And yet, what did the Prophet, what did Jibreel say? You're in trouble. Meaning that the world is going to encapsulate you. You're going to be trapped by those hardships. And secondly, the hellfire is also true. The opposite is true. With regards to our home, Abdullah ibn Abbas, he said, radiallahu anhu, in Bayhaqi, nothing in paradise resembles anything of this world except in name. Nothing in paradise resembles anything of this world except in name. Absolutely nothing. Think about that. You can't say even a grain in paradise is like a grain on the earth. There is absolutely nothing in paradise which is like what's in the world. Except they have the same name. That's it. So let me give you a very simple example of this. Us, when we enter paradise, forget about paradise itself, are we going to be like this? And the answer is no. What's going to happen to us? We're going to have the height of our beloved grandfather, Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, 60 cubits high, around 30 meters. Secondly, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a Sahih hadith in Ibn As-Sini, sleep is the twin brother of death. There is no sleep in paradise. So you won't sleep. Again, you've changed. The body needs sleep. It doesn't need sleep there. You don't get tired. The body will not get tired. It doesn't age. No gray hairs in paradise. Digestion system changes. Right? You don't go for a number one, number two, number three. None of that. The Sahaba asked, how will we digest our food? He goes, a slight sweat on the forehead. And that will smell of musk. So do we even understand ourselves in paradise? No. So what on earth is paradise itself? And the reason you go through these changes is so you can enjoy paradise. Otherwise you will simply die. We are not capable of entering paradise as we are now. Consider the following report. Ibn Majah, Shaykh Al-Bani rahmatullah alayhi states Sahih. Anas radiyallahu alayhi relates that our beloved messenger said sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, one of the believers who had suffered the most severely in the world will be brought forth. It will be said, dip him a single time into the river of paradise. After being dipped into the river of paradise, the believer will be asked, have you ever suffered harm or tribulation or so and so? He will reply, no, never. No, never. Let's look at this. So this is a Sahih hadith in Ibn Majah. So who is this person? He's a Muslim. He was the most severely, suffered the most severely in the world. Think about that. So what it was, you can imagine, maybe financially, physically, mentally, complete test on this person. He is asked to be dipped into a river of paradise. When he's dipped, the question is then posed to him, any harm or tribulation? Tell me about it. And he sincerely says, nothing, what harm, what tribulation? So what do we take from this? What do the rivers of paradise do? Think about that. If somebody says to you, dive off a diving board, it's okay, dives off it. And as he comes out of the water, he says, how do you feel? What do you mean, how do I feel? You feel, you know, all the worries of the world have left you. He'll give you that funny look and think, why are you asking that question? Do you feel like, you know, that you're a completely newborn, you know? He'll say, listen, man, what's the matter with you? Shall I call a doctor? Rivers don't do that in the earth. In fact, you might drown. You might do a belly flop, right? But the river of paradise, one dive, for the office, done. Now think about that. Look at all these woodies that we get stressed over. You think, oh, it's finished. One dip, brother. You know, they get chip. They put it in tomato ketchup, right? And then it comes out. So that is a Sahih hadith. So can you understand rivers of paradise? If you can, you're better than me. Similarly, in Imam Ahmad's Musnad, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam, he says something very interesting. I'll mention the full report. He says, oh my Lord, you made the world too sweet. You made the world too sweet. Now, what he meant by that was, I'm with the people, and with me, alhamdulillah, they, you know, they feel strong. But when they leave me, the world is too tempting. So Allah the Almighty, Lord, he says, what do you think, O Musa? Because I'm only talking on behalf of the people. So then Allah the Almighty, Lord, he says, behold, and he shows him paradise. Musa alayhi salatu wasalam then says, by your majesty, if the believers are denied comfort all their lives, with their hands and feet cut off, and they crawl on their faces, they would still say, on seeing paradise, we have never suffered. So let's look at this. First of all, was Musa in paradise? Alayhi salatu wasalam. It's possible that Allah Ta'ala actually made him enter paradise. Or he saw paradise. It doesn't really matter. When he saw paradise, now think about the change. What did he ask before? He saw paradise. You know, when you get that dial and you put it from north all the way, you turn it. That's what he did. First he said, oh, the world is this too much. So Allah Ta'ala then goes, have a look. When he saw paradise, completely changed what he said. Look what he's saying now. He goes, if the believers denied comfort all their lives, think about all the comforts you've got. Take them all. Get rid of them. Not just talking about central heating. Everything, every comfort gone. Get rid of everything. Then, cut his hands and feet off. Make him a cripple. Let him suffer on his face. Even he would say, on seeing paradise, we've never suffered. He's not entered. He's just seen it. Lost your hands. You didn't have no hands. You had no feet. You were crawling in the stomach. You were like a snake, for God's sake. Right? You didn't know where your next meal was coming from. You went, all of that bayan you're doing. He's thinking, what? What's suffering? You know what? Jannat. So much for trying to understand our glance at paradise. You know, we talk as if you understand it. You see paradise. Brother, you said you see paradise. Can you explain that? The guy starts scratching the back of his head. He goes, well, you see paradise. Well, there you go, brother. You're not explaining it properly. You see paradise, something happens to you. You have to explain that. He doesn't explain it. Bachara. Then he starts talking about the rivers. You dive into the... Oh, you dive, brother. What? Explain that dive. He goes, backflip. What do you want me to say? He's not explaining it. So what will happen if you don't explain it? You will start comparing it to dunya. So the Prophet, so Ibn Abbas said, the only similarity are words. That's all. Remember that. He goes, don't ever dare bring dunya into paradise. And even more mind-blowing report. Think about this. In Bayhaqi, in his Ba'ath, number 303, Ibn Abi Shayba in his Al-Musannaf, 13-175, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 225 of the New English Translation. Anas radiyallahu alayhi, that our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, verily, were there to be with you in the world in which you live one qatra of paradise, it would sweeten everything in the world for you. Similarly, if but one qatra from hell were to be put with you in the world, it would befoul everything on this world. So let's look at this. That's why I've left the word qatra. Even in Urdu, what does qatra mean?
A very small amount.
Yes, right? It's an Arabic word. Qatra means like a, you know, a chip. You get a chip. Right? Qatra means a chip. You know, a very small, you know, like piece. That's the word the Prophet used. So imagine, you go into paradise. Again, you got to excuse me for saying that. I don't know what it means. And you take a qatra. Yeah, just take some, right? And somebody goes, okay, you pick a dish up, I don't know what it is. If you take that qatra, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you put it into the world, the whole world will become sweet. Explain that. So then you'll go, I don't know, brother, I don't know how to explain that. Take a qatra, put it into the world, the whole world becomes sweet. Atlantic Ocean becomes sweet. Pacific Ocean becomes sweet. All the trees start blooming with fruits. Everything is sweet, pleasant smell all over the world, from Sydney to Morocco to Toronto. What's happened to the world? Katra, brother, katra. Katra's come out. Can you understand that? And similarly of hell. You take a katra of hell. Think, imagine, just a small whatever from hell, whatever it is. It will not destroy the world, it will finish it. It will be poisoned. So why was the Prophet mentioning that? So much for trying to understand katra. Imagine somebody goes, "You brother, look, you're talking about palaces, you're talking about is, just pick a katra. Surely I understand that." You gotta sit the guy down. He said, "Brother, sit down. You asked about katra. I'm gonna tell you. I'm baffled by it, but I'll tell you what the Prophet said. Soon as you mention it, watch the guy. Right? There you go, brother. Right? That's what's waiting for you. And you understand paradise. Right? So note, the Prophet is telling you, it's beyond you. Beyond you." How beautifully did Imam Ghazali sum up the entire matter? In his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 129 of the New English Translation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, quoting Imam Ghazali, Surah An-Nahl, Surah 16, verse 31, of the Billahi Min Shaitan Rajeem, لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ. They will have therein all that they desire. Imam Ghazali explained, this is undoubtedly the most comprehensive description of the delights to be enjoyed by the people of paradise. Stop in the quote. What did Imam Ghazali say? He said, this is the verse. This is the most pregnant verse of paradise. He goes, I can't see any other holy verse which gives you a more pregnant meaning of paradise. And what is it? It's part of a verse. What does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala say? لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ. They will have therein all that they desire. Then Imam Ghazali said, similarly, the greatest torment occurs when a man is denied what he desires. Allah the Almighty mentions, and he recited Surah Sabah, Surah 34, verse 54. Audhu billahi minash وَحِيلَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَشْتَهُونَ. And between them and their desires is placed a barrier. Again, the most comprehensive expression of the punishments endured by the people of hell. SubhanAllah. So look at Imam Ghazali. Shaykh Hamza said something very interesting about Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah alayh. He said only revelation sustained him. He got to that stage. Now what does that mean? It means that when you're bachara, you're frightened from Quran, you're frightened from that, you won't go to it. You like hearing talk, sweet talks, human speech. That's most of us, right? But as you get stronger, your connection grows to the Quran. So look how interesting what Imam Sheikh Hamza was mentioning. Your iman can be gauged by the Quran. If you're in love with it, you're an awliya. If you read it in Ramadan, through khatams, you're probably on first base. So Sheikh Hamza goes, Imam got only revelation sustained. Now look how interesting. Here you go, he's doing it. He goes, the most weightiest proof of the greatness of paradise. What did he call? Gospel of Barnabas. Allah the Almighty and Glorious says, لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ. They will have therein all that they desire. Now why is that an important verse? Women, you have to be blunt. How many times do they say, well, how come you can marry 72 virgins? What about us? How come you got 10,000 wives? What about us? And there's the problem. You silence them with this verse. Oh, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لَهُمْ فِيهَا مَا يَشَاءُونَ. They will have therein all that they desire. Who's they? Men or women? He goes, both. So he goes, so what's your problem? Allah Ta'ala didn't say, oh, no, not you women. You can only have 90% of your desires fulfilled. Imam Ghazali is telling you, you will have all that you desire. What a stupid question if you think about it. But really, because we've left Quran. I can't. You go to the female, you will have whatever you desire. Is there anything left? Right? So what are you asking about? Whether I can marry 72 virgins? Right? Allah Ta'ala is mentioning that to us maybe because we men are weaker than you. But if you have enough, whatever you desire, you work it out. Right? And go, oh yeah, mashallah. Then bayan starts. You get some people saying, well, you should believe. Don't you believe? Right? Don't know the answer. Himself starts his bayan off. Astaghfirullah. Then, what did Imam Ghazali said? Imam Ghazali, rahmatullah, they said, the greatest punishment is when you are denied your desires. Think about that. Look at the way he's described it. That's an interesting description. What's the greatest punishment? We'd probably not think of torture. Well, do this and do that. The greatest punishment is you are denied your desires. And then he quotes the Quran again. وَهِيلَ بَيْنَهُمْ وَبَيْنَ مَا يَشْتَهُونَ. And between them and their desires is placed a barrier. This is the most severest punishment, Imam Ghazali said. So basically what he was saying was summing up the whole matter. Because that's your paradise, that's your hell. Which one do you want? Two verses sum it up. Consider also the exalted words of our beloved Messenger, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, the dead has now voyaged from this world and left it to its inhabitants. If he is of the blessed, he will no more wish to return to the world than would any of you wish to return to his mother's womb. Subhanallah. It's recorded by Ibn Abi Dunya in his Al-Mawt, Hafiz Zabidi in his Al-Ithaf, 10-384, Imam Ghazali in his Ihya, in the chapter on Dhikr Al-Mawt, Remembrance of Death, page 130 of the New English Translation. So let's break this down. So what did our beloved messenger say, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Somebody had died. We don't know who it was. Somebody had died. So he said, he's now left this world to you. Look at the description. He's left it to you. There's a lesson in that. Then he said, second thing, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if he is blessed, meaning I don't know, if he is blessed, he will no more wish to return to this world like one of you would wish to return to his mother's womb. Plus. So imagine you go to somebody. Would you like to go back to your mother's womb? No, I'm just saying, just hypothetically, you can go back to the comfort of your mother's womb. Why would I want to go into such a restricted, constricted, claustrophobic place when I've got this vast universe to explore? Can't argue with you, man. That is exactly how you would react when you know you fast. Would you like to go back to the world? You go, oh. He goes, no, Ya Allah, no, not to that place. That restricted. And there you go. Look how interesting that is, isn't it? The Prophet's giving you answers. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And guess what? We're in love with the womb. If this then would be his state in Barzakh, then what of our eternal home, paradise? Don't forget, he's not really in paradise. He's in the Barzakh. He doesn't want to come back. He's got the certificate of pass. You've passed. But just with that certificate, see you later. Take it with my blessings. Like, what have you left? Take it. It's all yours. Land, yeah, it's all yours. Take it. Class. Like, he's not bothered about his land. Imagine, you know, think about it. Somebody's passed and he's left a, you know, I don't know what he's left. Like, you work here. Is he bothered? Yeah. You know that land you left? Not bothered. What about that money? Right? What about? Class. And there's a lesson in that. The lesson in that isn't, why are you so attached to it now? Think about that. You're not so belong in it. You're not bothered when you die, but when you're alive, it means everything to me. Let us thus rush to the very call of our true abode itself. Paradise speaks is another thing. It's a creation. It's not a static entity. There's another thing, you know, if you think about it, you know, it's mind-boggling. Paradise is a living creation and it actually speaks. You know what it's saying? In Abu Dawud, our beloved messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, not a single day passes with paradise without paradise making this dua. Every day, paradise is making this dua. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I am anxiously awaiting the arrival of my inhabitants. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make them arrive quickly. I can't wait to meet them. So what's going on here? Some people hanging them anyway. So paradise every day, imagine. Ya Allah, please. I can't. When they gonna come to me? Please send them. So why is the Prophet telling us that? Because he's telling you, look how much paradise wants you. He's calling you. And you're saying, well, you wait on there. I'm just going to sort a few things out first. Right? So what are you sorting out? Astaghfirullah. Imagine what you're sorting out, brother. When I'm 60, I'll get into that. How many times have I mentioned this story? Going to do Umrah. Brother goes, oh, brother, you going to Umrah? I go, oh, yeah, I'm going to Umrah. Brother, make a special dua. So I thought, no problem. You know, what dua do you want? And he goes, that my takeaway, you know, it goes well in that. So I looked at him and he was serious, right? So then I goes, what about paradise? He goes, oh, yeah, chuck that in as well. The way he said it, he goes, yeah, obviously asked for that as well. But the way he was asking showed where his heart was. It was in takeaway, papadums. Paradise, I had to remind him of paradise. Oh yeah, we chuck it out, yeah, chuck that one in. Right? And then I thought, shall I make that dua for him? Well, I made dua for paradise, I thought, you know, he's... The next minute you love, you know. So let us thus be amongst those about whom our beloved messenger said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, look at the words. Concern yourselves with that towards which you are heading and where you shall live forever. Subhanallah. Concern yourselves with that towards which you are heading and where you shall live forever. This is in Hakim and his Mustadrak Sahih Al-Isaba 2-98, Kanz al-Umal 1-69, Abu Nu'aym al-Hilya 9-279. Think about that. Is there anybody more sincere to us than Rasulullah? Not even your mother and father. Rasulullah said, look at his compassion for this. He goes, concern yourselves towards what? Where you're going? Where you live forever? That's your concern. And have we got that concern? You get people and you say, look, you see the list of priorities. And paradise is right at the bottom. You've got to sort that koti out back home. Then I've got to, you know, yeah, got to get that other house sorted out. Got to money my kids off. And then I've got to, bank account's a bit low. Make that, top that up. And paradise is down there. Is that your concern? Priority. Jannah. I'm heading towards paradise. We'll sort these things out. But this is my priority. And thus be amongst those about whom our beloved messenger praised. Who did he praise? When he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, behold, many appear to be humiliating themselves, but in fact are being very generous to themselves. Subhanallah. In Ibn Abi Dunya, Ibn Manda, Al-Isaba 2-486, Targheeb 3-422, Ayat al-Sahaba, volume 1, page 523 of the New English Translation. Let's break this down. So what did the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? Behold, meaning ajib. Many appear to be humiliating themselves. Appear means looks can be deceiving. So who are these people humiliating themselves? They're doing good deeds. They're not doubling in their sins. So think about it. A person now, doubling a mobile phone, going around to all those sites that people talk about. He's doubling. Another person isn't. So what do people say? Why you got mobile phone, brother? No, I need it. Right? So what do people think of him? Bachala. He's bachala. This is the Prophet's words. Many appear to be humiliating themselves. Are they really humiliating themselves? There's an illusion there. They're not humiliating themselves. Another person, come on. Let's have lads night. Ah, come on. Have one day off some. Come on, try. Enjoy yourself. Do toba tomorrow. And he goes, sorry, can. And they go, oh, he's bachara, bachara. And then, why are you thinking he's bachara? Right? You should think, I think we're bachara. He's the one who's intelligent. So the Prophet is praising. Many appear to be humiliating themselves, but then he said, but in fact, are being very generous to themselves. Your fruitcakes, they're very clever, very intelligent people. They're trying to live through the world and escape from it. You've muddied the world. They're trying to get out safely and you're attaching them to it. Come to what? Kachawali, what do you want me to do? Get a tan and come back. You know, what? Do what with a medallion, right? What do you want me to do? Come on, have a break. Break from what, brother? I want to go to paradise. Right? Break's there. Eternal break. We thus beg our loving Lord for his infinite grace. Amen. I conclude with the words of the Exalted. In Surah Luqman, alayhi salam, Surah 31, verse 33, Allah the Almighty and Glorious, He says, A'udhu billahi minash shaitan rajim. Ya ayyuha an-nasu ittaqu rabbakum wakhshaw yawman la yajzi walidun 'an waladihi wa la mawludun huwa jazin 'an walidihi shay'a. O mankind, do your duty to your Lord. Fear a day when no father can help his son, nor a son help his father. Inna wa'adullahi haqq. Verily the promise of Allah is true. فَلَا تَغُرَّنَّكُمُ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا. Do not let this world deceive you. وَلَا يَغُرَّنَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Nor let the chief deceiver deceive you about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at this amazing verse. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala goes, do your duty. Meaning, be patient with your deeds. Fear a day when nobody can help each other. Father, son, son, father. Allah, the last promise is true. He's not going to break His promise. And then what does He say? He mentions two of your enemies. Who does He mention first? Which is interesting. He doesn't mention shaitan first. He mentions dunya. Do not let this world deceive you. So a person goes, how does the world deceive me? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in Qurtubi in his tafsir, the world is more enchanting than the witchcraft of Harut and Marut. The world is more enchanting than the witchcraft of Harut and Marut. Harut and Marut brought witchcraft, separated a husband from a wife. Powerful witchcraft. The Prophet goes, there's something more powerful, but that'll separate you from your Lord. You separate from your wife, you can get married again. You separate from your Lord, khalas. Go and join your brothers in it, right? On beach. And what causes that dunya? The Quran is telling you that. And then Allah Ta'ala says, and He gives a title of shaitan, the chief deceiver. When person rips you off, how much anger goes in your heart? You know, you ask a person, have you ever been ripped off? Oh yeah, brother, right, bud. And you think, panic. Then our second question, right? What was it? Oh, he was like an old, yeah, but then he comes out full beyond. And then he goes, what did he do? He goes, he ripped me off. And he goes, so he deceived you? And he goes, yeah. And he goes, are you angry with him? 100%. And he goes, who's the chief deceiver? Then they give you that glazed look. Eh, right? Because he deceived you, and I can see your anger. Who's the chief deceiver? They look at you and he goes, is it Chacha? No, not Chacha Saab, right? Shaitan. Then he goes to your left. He goes, well, how is he deceiving me? Well, there you go in here, brother. Taking your kacha off, you don't even realize, right? If you hate him so much, why are you in love with Shaitan? Astaghfirullah. He's after you. He's not bothered about. He'll give you the world. If you give me your iman, I'll give you the world. Sell your soul to me. And we'll do it. In this crack pot, sell the iman. Sign here that you're Qadiani. I will give you a visa to go to England. Right? Shaitan goes, oh, there's another one. Signed it to get visa. And you know what I'll do tawbah afterwards. Oh my God, you did kufr. To get from one part of the world to the other. I'm not really Qadiani though. And the ulama said consensus, kafir. Right? Whether you write it or not. Right? Selling the iman. For, you know, at least sell it for something priceless. Or you sell it for visa. You know how much a visa cost now? One guy goes to me, buy grand, you'll get a visa. 8 grand. He sold his iman, astaghfirullah. And also in the Quran to finish, in Surah Nisa, Surah 4, verse 122, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَوْذِ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. And whose words can be truer than those of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And whose words can be truer than those of Allah. Allah Ta'ala is telling you that. Because can anybody's words be more truer than mine? If you think that, he's got you. Astaghfirullah. And this is why when you talk about paradise, the great ones, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there's a hadith, he goes, remember the two great things. And what are the two great things? Paradise and hell. The angels praise those who remember paradise and hell, because they're remembering the two great things. Is this in our speech? Do we talk about paradise and hell? And when we do, it's like, you're linking it to world. Yeah, you love women. You'll eat, you'll have palaces. Thanks, brother. You've described Dubai. Right? Oh, no, I meant paradise. Well, could have fooled me, brother. Right? You have to explain it, go into it, and then you realize that when you talk about it, this is what's waiting for me. The dwelling of kings. I want to be a king, an eternal king in the sight of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And like I mentioned to the brothers off tape, to finish, Allah ta'ala, what has He created thus far? How generous has He been? The hadith is in Sahih Bukhari. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he said, and I think he linked it to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, look what Allah ta'ala has created. Look at His generosity. Think about that. He is absolutely mind-boggling. He's created this universe. He's created all the stars in it. He's created all the planets. He's created all the trees. He's created all of the humans, all the jinn, all the insects, everything. And He's still creating. So how generous is He? Thus far, you think, Allahu Akbar. But then think about this. You haven't seen nothing yet. Why? Because He will truly show you His generosity in paradise. This is just a warm-up. Right? Imagine, suddenly you can have whatever you desire. Who is giving you that? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then you'll realize His greatness. You think, Allahu Akbar. And there's one day the Prophet said you will always look forward to in paradise. Friday. So think about that. Even in paradise, you'll be looking forward to Friday. Authentic hadith in Bazaar. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان ربي حمدي سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واتوب الله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات واصل الحق واصل الصبر صلى الله عليه وسلم